Ready?
Oh, wait, let me hit record. Okay, go ahead, Chairman.
Okay.
Thank you.
Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News, notice posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building, notice was made available to the township clerk, notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Zimmerman? Oh, I muted you, Warren, sorry.
Here.
Mr. Tillery?
Here.
Mr. Reggio?
Here.
Mr. Blount? Mr. Patel?
Yeah.
Mr. Minarondo?
Here.
And Chairman Cahill?
Here. Everyone please stand for the salute to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Mr. Keneally, are there any changes to the agenda?
Yes, there are. M&M Partners of Piscataway has requested to be carried to March 25th. That will be carried with no further notice by the applicant. The application of Harris Realty, 31 Lakeview Avenue, has been adjourned until March 25th, 2021. The applicant must renotice. I understand that Gayatri Parawar is going to ask to be rescheduled, but I have not discussed that with the applicant. If a representative of the applicant is present, perhaps we can hear from them.
Mr. Keneally, Mr. Chairman, good evening, Arvin Itall. I am a representative of the applicant, and based on a conversation that I had with my client earlier today and also with the staff, we're requesting this matter be carried to the next meeting. I understand your March meeting date is full. We'd ask that you put us on just in case. I understand that we may not make that March date because of the schedule, but if we can stay on that schedule, that would be appreciated.
And you did notice for this evening, is that correct?
We did. We provided the proof of notice, and we'd ask that we not be required to renotice.
Okay, so the application of Gayatri Parawar, Northeast America, will be carried to March 25th with no further notice by the applicant, but also the applicant must understand that they may not be reached that day.
Thank you.
Those are all the changes I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Keneally. At this time, I'd like to go to item number 621-ZB-01V, T-Mobile Northeast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, good evening. This is Frank Ferraro, firm of Ferraro and Stamos, here on behalf of the applicant, T-Mobile Northeast LLC. Mr. Chairman, this application before the board tonight is for an interpretation. T-Mobile currently has an FCC licensed telecommunication facility on the rooftop of the building at 242 Old New Brunswick Road. Currently they have 9 antennas attached to sled mounts on the roof, 3 antennas per sector. And they also have equipment cabinets, 2 existing equipment cabinets on a steel platform. We filed the interpretation under 47 USC 1455 and FCC, the accompanying FCC orders, requesting a determination that the proposed upgrade be exempt from local land use jurisdiction. The nature of the upgrade is that T-Mobile will be swapping out 3 of the 9 antennas in place with 3 new antennas, 1 per sector. The new antennas are considerably shorter than the existing antennas. New ones are about 33 inches tall. They are a little wider. There are 2 existing cabinets which will be replaced at the site on the dunnage. So essentially, you know, it's more of a maintenance thing. They're swapping out some of the older antennas for the new 5G capable antennas in order to improve the service in this area. There's going to be no increase in the number of antennas as a result of the upgrade, and there's going to be no increase in the number of cabinets at the site as a result of the upgrade. So it's fairly de minimis.
So Mr. Flower, it's fair to say that there are no new variances created by this equipment.
That's correct, Councilor. No new variances.
and you're not in you're not making it any higher or any larger?
No, the antennas will be attached to the existing post mount. So they're unbolting three antennas from the post, bolting three new ones onto that post, no higher.
And I know that earlier today, a resolution or part of a resolution was forwarded to you with regard to this property from 2011?
Correct. I did take a look at that. It appears there was a requirement of a solar facility that additional right-of-way be provided to the township in the form of an easement. This application before the board, I know in the past that sometimes when there had, and I don't know much about it, to be honest, because I didn't handle the application, but I'm assuming that perhaps that wasn't done by the applicant or the owner at that time. I think it was 2011. I don't have any independent knowledge of that, but since it's being brought up, I assume it was not done. Normally, if this was a site plan application, then perhaps that condition would also could also impact this particular application. I would just respectfully submit to the board that since this is an interpretation under a very specific FCC order and legislation that applies only to this type of telecommunication use, the failure of a prior applicant on a different type of matter to fulfill the condition should not attach or any way condition the board from finding that this facility upgrade can move forward. Like I offered to Laura, I would be more than happy to try to facilitate with the property owner curing that defect. But we would just respectfully ask the board that it not be included in the decision affecting this matter. I got a chance to look at the prior resolutions. This was not a condition of T-Mobile or Sprint's prior resolutions. This is something that was more recent in 2011.
Mr. Hinterstein?
Yeah, I mean, he's accurate. This was definitely a condition that was part of the application that came before the board in 2011 for, I believe it was a solar panel array over the parking lot. As one of those conditions that is being spoken of is the permanent right-of-way easement, additional 10 feet of permanent right-of-way easement along the frontage of Old New Brunswick Road. We're going to be improving that roadway in the near future. And again, as a condition of that previous approval, that easement was agreed to during that application. That being said, there may have been also another temporary easement, but whatever the item in that resolution is what, we have a concern with since we're going to be doing the road construction there in the near future. So we would like that condition to be made, to follow through on that condition of that approval. I understand Mr. Ferraro's, concern and point regarding that it wasn't part of his specific application. That being said, though, I think if they came in for a permit, we would look at the property and any outstanding resolutions and possibly hold up that that zoning permit for that reason. Again, I'm not sure, Jim, on the law may say that they're exempt from site plan approval, but it may not state that they're exempt from any other outstanding conditions when they come in for a building permit for those modifications.
Mr. Chairman, it's been the practice of this board for many years when an applicant comes in, when there's been a prior application and there are prior conditions of approval, that you make a condition of this approval, that all of those former conditions remain in full force and effect. That is what I would recommend here.
Yeah, I agree.
Mr. Ferraro is attempting to distinguish his application. He may or may not be correct, but I believe to protect the Township of Piscataway, we should probably, if the board sees fit, grant an exemption from site plan on the condition that all prior conditions of approval be met.
I agree.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I just have to object only because I'm not trying to be argumentative or difficult. Having been before this board over the number of years, I remember the board taking that position, as Councilor has indicated. I just have to say for the record that conditioning this is an interpretation. So we're asking the board to find that we meet the criteria under the Spectrum Act so that we are exempt from local zoning regulation. So conditioning the interpretation is basically akin to denying it. The FCC says that they give a specific criteria, which I included in the package that I submitted to the board, the conditions that they say, these are the questions to be answered. Is the facility existing, which means it's an eligible facility? Is the upgrade to an extent that it constitutes a substantial change to that facility? We submitted in the package that I think it's pretty clear that it doesn't violate any of those conditions. So that is the extent of the analysis to determine whether or not it's exempt. We're going above and beyond now. There was actually a recent FCC ruling in last year, June of last year. So that was FCC order 20-75, paragraph 42, where the FCC specifically went further to explain this because carriers were running into problems with prior conditions that didn't have to do with the substantial change criteria. It was outside the guidelines provided by the FCC and really, you know, outside the jurisdiction at that point, since the FCC has kind of taken almost exclusive jurisdiction over these upgrades now. So if there is a condition established in the prior resolution for T-Mobile or Sprint that has not been complied with, then that could be considered a substantial change by the FCC, but it has to be expressly stated in the resolution for the approval of that facility. I went through for Sprint Spectrum and for T-Mobile at this site, and nowhere is the condition of the easement noted in either of those resolutions. So this would be a new condition being put on, a new condition put on an interpretation application that is really outside the parameters of what the FCC will allow. It's also a condition that the FCC says you have 60 days to make determinations on an eligible facility request. And Piscataway has been very good about doing that through their board process. That's a condition that there's really no way for us to resolve within the 60-day period. So it's going to be something that's almost akin to a denial under the FCC orders. So my point is not to say that disagree with what Councilor said, and the procedures and the historical procedures of the board. I know the board likes to take conditions and make sure that obviously they're complied with, but there is a specific set of rules here and legislation that is different when you're dealing with FCC license provider, so communication facilities. So, I mean, that's the legal argument. I get the practical aspect of this is, you know, this is not a situation where T-Mobile, I'm willing to try to work this out with the landlord and bring it to their attention, know that this is a problem and it has to be taken care of. Conditioning our ability to provide better service to the public upon something that is out of our control like that, I think is not going to really benefit, certainly not going to benefit my client, but certainly not going to benefit anyone who has the service in this area. And this is not a situation where we're proposing a new site. This is not a situation where we're grabbing more rooftop space and, you know, the landlord's going to get more money out of us. This is basically a maintenance issue, right? That facility up there is not up to, you know, the state-of-the-art standards that it could be. So if the owner decides not to do anything about it, we can't upgrade the site, we can't provide the better service, and, you know, I'm not sure, you know, what benefit that is. Not the legal argument aside, that I think it would run afoul of the FCC regulations. If there was going to be some kind of, and I think I even provided to the board a copy of the lease notice to the landlord indicating that this is maintenance. There's no additional payments being made, whether this is approved or not. So I'm just worried. We don't have a lot from a practical standpoint to make somebody do something about this. So I guess that's both sides of the coin. One is the legal argument. I really do feel that it would run afoul of the FCC regulations, and that they provide a very, very distinct and very specific guidelines for what we're supposed to look at when determining whether it's going to be exempt or not. And I think undoubtedly this would go beyond that. So I know it's the board's policy, but I would ask in this particular situation not to, because I really do believe that there is legislation which indicates that you should not do that.
Thank you.
It
has been our practice in the past to do exactly what you don't want us to do. So unfortunately, I'm going to recommend to the board that we only consider approving this with the conditions stated by the township attorney.
Mr. Chairman, if there's no further testimony, you may want to go out to the public.
Will do. Does anybody on the board here have any questions for this applicant?
Mr. Keneally?
Yes, Mr.
Keneally. If I may, before, I just have to ask if my engineer is on the call. Oh, Anthony. I've kind of made an oral argument on this. If the board, I mean, I get a sense that the board is going in a certain direction, I might want to call my engineer just to put some testimony, quick testimony on the record.
And did you ascertain that he is on the call?
Yes, he just popped up. I see Anthony.
And what is his name, please?
Good evening. Anthony Cristiano with French and Perlow Associates.
Mr. Cristiano, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Cristiano, could you please go over your background qualifications for the board in public?
Yeah, so I've been a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey since last March. I've been working with French and Perlow for about 10 years, all within the telecommunications department.
Okay. And have you testified before boards in the state of New Jersey before?
I have not.
Okay, so this is your first time?
Yep.
Okay. So approximately how many wireless telecommunication facility sites would you say you've worked on in your career?
Hundreds, over 500 within the state of New Jersey, New York.
Okay. And for multiple carriers or just T-Mobile?
Multiple carriers, Sprint, T-Mobile, Verizon.
Okay.
That's fine, I'm qualified. I'm satisfied with his credentials.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Can I interrupt one second? Is he an RF engineer or is he a civil engineer?
Civil engineer.
Isn't the discussion revolve around whether there's a need for the facility and replacement as opposed to a engineering description of what's been described? Is we're replacing two cabinets and three antenna?
No, there is no RF need component to this this application.
You're basing your upgrade on some kind of need. It's real competition. But
no, and that's really,
I just don't see where the testimony is going to add anything.
Well, the testimony is just going to be very brief and to the point, but I need to have my engineer to go through the criteria to give his professional opinion as to whether or not this is an eligible facility and whether or not it will cause a substantial change. So it's basically going to take, probably 3 minutes. But I think I need a professional's testimony on those matters.
Thank you, John. Please proceed.
Okay. So, Mr. Cristiano, the plans that you submitted to the board, were they either prepared by you or under your supervision?
Yes, prepared by me.
Okay. And T-Mobile has an existing telecommunication facility at this particular property, is that correct?
Correct.
And are they seeking to upgrade that facility in this application?
They are.
Okay. With respect to the antennas, there are currently 9 antennas on the rooftop. Is that correct?
Correct, 9 existing.
And there are 3 equipment cabinets. Is that right? Or is it?
Yep, 3 existing. 3 existing equipment cabinets.
In this upgrade, T-Mobile is proposing to replace 3 of the existing antennas. Is that right?
That's correct.
And will they replace them on existing mounts on the building rooftop?
Yeah, there's existing ballast trains on the top of the roof. We're proposing to replace 3 antennas on existing pipe masts. Okay.
And will the antennas or the equipment increase the height of the facility?
No changes to the height proposed.
Okay. Will the equipment or antennas change the width of the facility in any way?
No change.
After the upgrade, will the facility exceed 4 equipment cabinets, or will it be under that threshold?
No, it'll be under 4. 3 cabinets is what we're proposing at final.
Okay. Is there any excavation or deployment outside the current site of the rooftop facility? Either the antennas?
All modifications proposed are on the rooftop.
In your opinion, would anything defeat any existing concealment elements at the site? Are there any concealment elements? I don't think there's any.
No, there's no concealment elements for the antennas or equipment.
Okay, so the antennas, will they be installed in the same fashion as the existing antennas?
Correct, same fashion.
Okay, all right, thank you. That is it. That's the extent of the question. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, if there are no questions from the board, then it would be appropriate to go out to the public.
Open the public portion right now. Anyone in the public want to have any questions about this application, please step forward.
There is a Brian that has raised his hand.
And this would be the time for questions and comments.
Sure. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Brian, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand?
Sure.
You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
I have your name and address, please.
Brian Rack, 1247 Brookside Road.
Can you spell your last name, please?
R-A-K.
Thank you.
I'd just like to encourage the board to accept this application. It seems pretty silly to me to say that you can't replace the antennas on the roof without complying with other requirements here. I mean, there would be no problem if they just continued business as usual. So I think it's a little crazy to say you have to do various other things. And I think as a resident that lives nearby, like T-Mobile not upgrading is going to hurt my enjoyment of things. That was it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Ms. Buckley, anyone else?
No, Chairman.
Okay, hearing nothing, the public portion is now closed. Mr. Farrar, at this point, would you reconsider your current position?
I'm asking the board not to include that as a condition of approval. I'm more than willing to work to try to help get that. I'm willing to be part of the solution, not the problem on it. The problem I have is I have a legal requirement in here in front of me. I have the FCC regulations in front of me. The FCC regulations are saying that you can't condition an eligible facility, which doesn't create a substantial change on things that are that are outside the criteria. And I just want to read one sentence from paragraph 42. And this is FCC order 2075. This was adopted just last year because just for this specific reason, because this board is not unique in carrying forward conditions on properties. A lot of boards do that. But in this particular context, the FCC actually had to provide some guidance just to reiterate that that practice is not to be done in the context of wireless communications upgrades. You know, the FCC indicated, however, localities cannot merely assert that a detail or feature of the facility was a condition of the siting approval. There must be express evidence. Express evidence has been interpreted as being an actual condition in the original resolution for that facility. So it must be express evidence that at the time of the approval, the locality required the feature and condition approval upon its continuing existence in order for noncompliance with the condition to disqualify a modification from being an eligible facility request. So it says, consistent with commonplace statutory construction that the specific governs the general, we clarified that where there is a conflict between a locality's general ability to impose conditions under Section 5 and modifications specifically deemed non-substantial under Sections 1 through 4, the conditions under Section 5 should be enforced only to the extent they do not prevent the modification that would otherwise be approved. So in this particular situation, and then it goes on, obviously, it provides the statutory time, reasonable time period. The FCC puts at 60 days for processing one of these upgrades. So I just wanted to read that to the board because that was in paragraph 42 of the order 2075. And the FCC thought it was important enough to provide that recent guidance so that these type of facilities aren't, for lack of a better word, they're not held up for reasons unrelated to them. Because however we feel about wireless telecommunications, whether we think it's a good thing or a bad thing, you know, the FCC has made it clear that they want the carriers to upgrade and provide the best service to the public. And
that's understood.
Yeah.
That's understood. And obviously we're out for the best interest of the public as well, but we have a policy where all conditions need to be satisfied, whether or prior or current. Mr. Keneally, what if we were to grant this with the condition that all prior conditions still applied?
That is the typical policy of this board.
Okay.
And that would.
But would that would?
And Mr. Ferraro, that would also give you a greater momentum to facilitate this happening with the landlord.
With the landlord, yeah.
In what way? I'm sorry. If it was included?
Yes. Because you could take the position with the landlord that maybe you're going to stop paying the landlord because he hasn't allowed you to go forward.
At the end of the day, the site does not get upgraded. So the people being hurt here, I understand it's the policy of the board, but this is a very unique service. It's today's modern day utility service, right? So it's, as one of the members of the public indicated, the only people who are being hurt are the people in Piscataway who are next to the site. And I'll just reiterate once again, I am no way trying to say that the board's policies are wrong or being disrespectful of, you know, the way the board includes these conditions. I'm just trying to make the board aware that there is a specific carve out for this type of FCC licensed facility. So I think the board can still be consistent in requiring the conditions to appear in subsequent resolutions, but for all matters other than FCC licensed wireless telecommunications, where there is clear legislation which says you cannot do that. Because this approval is going to be akin to a denial with that condition in it. That's how the FCC looks at it, because you're approving it, but you're conditioning on something that is not permissible under the regulations. So it's akin to a denial.
It's from our point of view, it's been a valid condition for 10 years now.
Oh, I understand that. But all I'm saying respectfully is that this legislation came about originally 4 years ago. So, and now you have guidance as of last June, which is directly on point as to conditions. So, I mean, the board's going to make its own decisions. I'm just trying to provide the information. Now, obviously, I'm making the case for my client, but I do think it's based upon recent federal legislation. And I would just ask the board to acknowledge that in this case, allow the applicant to work with the landlord in order to get this fixed, because it's obviously been outstanding for what, a decade now. So yes. Something that's happened a decade ago is going to hold people up from getting better service in 2021. I just don't think it's the best result I just don't think it's allowable under the regulations for this use only. If this was a new rooftop facility, this would be a totally different ballgame. But with respect to upgrades, you know, these are the regulations that are on the books.
Thank you, Mr. Ferrara.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me go off there.
And I think that's where we differ, and the board will make its decision.
Okay. So the granting with the condition is not something, Mr. Ferrara, you're interested in, correct?
The board can do that on its own.
Yeah, I don't know if I can. I mean, I object to the condition, but you know, it's up to the board whether.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna make a motion. I'm gonna make a motion that we grant this application with the condition prior conditions still apply.
I will second that. Mr. Warren, I will second that.
Thank you, Warren. Ms. Buckley.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt didn't show up. Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Ferrara will have a resolution at our next meeting and send it to you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ferrara.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Have a good night. Bye, Frank. Let's move ahead to item number 921-ZB02V. Paul Rubain? Rabion?
Rabone.
I butchered it. I'm so sorry. How are you then?
It's okay. Arvin Eitel, how are you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board? I'm an attorney at law licensed to practice in the state of New Jersey, and I represent the applicant before the board this evening. I have one witness that I'd like to present, and this is for a temporary use permit to permit outdoor storage. The site is a commercial / light industrial type site located at 145 11th Street. So it's bounded by 11th Street on the south, 10th Street on the north, and Adrian Avenue to the west. The building is approximately 7,200 square feet that exists there currently. And as I said earlier, it's on a 1 acre site plus or minus. The applicant is seeking this temporary use permit to permit outdoor storage for a known tenant that is actually currently occupying a building just a few doors down at 178 10th Street. And the company is Extreme Supplies East Coast. Now, I have the owner of the property, Mr. Rabone, who's going to provide testimony. I want to provide just a little bit of background on this proposed tenant that's going to be moving in. The tenant has three employees, no changes in operations from the 178 10th Street location, which is where they're currently located, is anticipated. This is essentially, in the words of the tenant, the perfect site for them, perfect in terms of size, inside and outside. What they do is they store and warehouse disaster rental equipment, dry goods, PPE gear, disinfectants, and that sort of thing for disaster relief such as floods, fires, mold, hurricanes, and now COVID. So these products that come in, the equipment that come in, are essentially coming in and then going out fairly quickly when there is an emergency. They immediately locate the equipment and the products to the emergency site. Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I'd like to call Mr. Rabone, who's going to give us a little bit more background. I think this is the perfect opportunity for the township to have a current business stay in the township of Piscataway. And they've been serving on an emergency basis, not only the township of Piscataway, but numerous townships and municipalities throughout the country. Mr. Rabone, if you can turn on your mic, and Mr. Chairman, if I can have him sworn in.
Please proceed.
Mr. Rabone, could you raise your right hand?
He's unmuted.
You'll have to turn on your microphone.
You got it.
There we go.
Mr. Rabone, could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
I do.
Your name and address, please.
Bob Rabone, 820 Gates Avenue, Piscataway.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Rabone, you're familiar with the site because it's actually your family site. Is that correct?
Yes.
And this is a family investment that you've owned for a number of years, correct?
Yeah, my father started there in the 50s and has been there ever since.
It's a vacant site currently?
No, there's a building on the site now. That 7,000 square feet that you talk about, that's been there for years.
No, I mean, there's no one occupying the building currently, correct?
No, there's no one occupying the building. No.
So it's vacant. You'd like to have a good tenant occupy this building, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, you heard me earlier talking about Extreme Supplies East Coast, and they're located at 178 10th Street, which isn't far from where you are currently. Is that correct?
That's right.
Now, is there anything that I said that was incorrect, or is there anything that you want to add about their operations? And it's a two-part question. The second part of that question is, have you been by their location at 178 10th Street?
Yeah, they outgrew 178 10th Street. They have some of their equipment that they don't have room for in the building there is stored out right along the road. We're giving them the opportunity to move into a building that's bigger, that can house a lot more of their equipment. And that we have a fenced-in yard that now the equipment that they store out along 10th Street is now will be well off 10th Street behind the face of buildings and in a fenced-in protected area where it's secure for them and it's also secure from any of the kids in the neighborhood or anything like that.
Now, the current location that they have, though, they haven't received any complaints from neighbors and so forth about noise and anything of the sort that you're aware of. Have they?
No. They've been a great neighbor, to the residential community and also the industrial area in that area.
Now, as a property owner, I know that you want to have someone that's actually paying rent and occupying it, but I would imagine that you're going to be somewhat picky. If it's a bad neighbor that's down the street, you're not going to allow them to come in and sully your reputation, are you?
No, and my father prided himself on that. He's always been concerned about the neighbors and wants to do right by the neighbors when he does own a building that needs to have a tenant in it. But the neighbors have always been a priority to him.
Okay. Now, one of the things that I've indicated in the opening statements that I made was that we're looking for a temporary use permit, which means that we can ask for up to 6 months conditioned upon us coming back to the board with a full site plan to let them know how this operation is going to work. You're aware of that, is that correct?
Yeah, in fact, that site plan is probably 99% completed now. I have copies of it already. I'm dealing with Menlo Engineering and they've drawn up a set of plans that I've handed into my attorney's office.
Okay, now there are a number of staff reports and memos that the professional staff came up with, and there's nothing that we can't comply with, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And you understand that the site has to be maintained in an orderly manner at all times, but certainly until we come in for our full site plan, you're going to make sure that the tenant continues to maintain the site, are you not?
Yes, and we always pride ourselves on keeping a nice, neat, clean neighborhood for the neighbors that live behind here on 10th Street.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any other questions for Mr. Rabone. I think that if the board members have any specific questions with regard to the operation, but essentially what we're looking for is that temporary use permit so that we can move this tenant in, permit them to start to occupy the facility. And as they're moving over, we would certainly file the application. We're asking for 6 months.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone on the board have any questions for this application or any comments?
I just have a quick comment.
Hearing none, I'm sorry, Henry, please.
Yeah, are there any hazardous chemicals used at this facility, or I should say with this business?
There's no hazardous materials. Everything that they handle has been EPA approved, and they have all the licenses to handle everything.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else with any questions?
Just one quick one, Mr.
Sure, John.
I've seen where they currently are located, and there is a lot of small types of equipment all over the place. This variance plan shows several locations for outside of trailer storage, and Arvid said that he would comply with all the reports.